Blessed this morning to have our friends Pastor Al and Laura Robbins with us from Berwick, Maine. Pastor Al and I, our friendship goes back a long way. When I was in Bible school, Pastor Al was one of our instructors at Bible College. He was also the Dean of Men. And he was our phys ed teacher at the Bible College. So the Bible school that I went to took over this campus of this what had been a very prestigious prep school. And it was a beautiful old building, but up in the attic there was all this old football equipment from the 1950s and 1960s. Old pads and helmets and all this crazy stuff. And so once a year, Pastor Al used to make all the men in the Bible College dress up in this rotting football equipment. And we'd have the Faith School of Theology Super Bowl. And while we were playing football, you know, the leather was so rotted on the old uniforms, they just sort of come to tatters, they start coming apart, and he had a big band, you know, college band music on a boombox, that was what we did for excitement in Bible College. So over the last couple of years, Pastor Al and Laura have just become part of our Harvest Time family, and we're so grateful they're on their way out west, off on a new adventure, and on their way through, we were able to snag them for the first Sunday of this new year. So I'm wondering, I know you're cozy in your seat, but would you stand on your feet and give your best welcome this morning for our friends, Pastor Al and Laura Robbins.
Praise God. You may be seated today. Some of those memories I had been able to regress through counseling, and now they're everything has erupted again. Somewhere I have video. Missionary Dave Ferris didn't like to play, and he's tougher than all of us put together, but he would video for us. I can still see a December practice. And we were practicing for I don't know what. But he filmed from the library down on the end of the Higgins Field while we're practicing. There's a bunch of us there, and it really became something. I think if we put it together again with the same guys, us old guys, we could still beat the Cleveland Browns this year. So any Browns fans there, I apologize. Anyway, God bless you. But, man, we had fun. Someday I've got to bring some clips here. Pastor Nick, remind me, I'm going to send you some clips. I've got still photos. Back then, the band music was played on a cassette tape, so that dates us. And when I first went to Bible College, it was reel to reel. But anyway, it's great to be with you today. We're excited with you. The Bible says rejoice with those that rejoice. And it's easy to rejoice with you guys because it is amazing what God has been doing here for a number of years. I think this is our third year back, I think. And just amazing to see the progress. When we drive a lot, I'm still not pastoring 4 years of kind of a sabbatical, preaching as often as I can, and we're doing antiques, as you know, many of our Facebook friends out there, a lot of you, thank you for loving me anyway, because some days I just ramble on crazy stuff, but we build like repurposed furniture and farm tables. My wife does rustic signs out of antique lumber, and so we're often on the road. I was supposed to be delivering a 14-foot farm table to Virginia tomorrow, but I couldn't come up with a lumber in the winter that long, so I got to break the news to them that we can't do it. I told them I'd try, but anyway, we've come through a lot, and we try our best just to stop and take a look at the progress. We have eyes of vision, and you guys had to have eyes of vision when it was a hole over 2 years ago. And you had to have eyes of vision. And it was not something to build for something to do in your spare time. Amen. I just looked through the bulletin and said to Pastor, wow, I don't know if I can pastor again. I'm exhausted reading the bulletin. It's awesome. It reminds me, I haven't pastored for 4 years, and I love it. This Alpha course and all the things, the marriage conference coming up and the women's meetings and all the things that God is doing, it takes vision. And by the way, I'm already preaching, so hang with me. It's already, you know, seeing the bulletin tells you so much about a church. And harvest time is alive, and you're reaching and stretching and growing and preparing room for more. Because there are more people that don't know Jesus yet. And I don't know if you know that, but he's coming back at some point. In fact, right about now would be great. When I had to walk to my truck in the upper lot this morning, I don't use valet parking. I don't like it anyway. And I'm in top shape and young, but we had packed all our coats. We just sold our house last week, and without thinking, we've packed our coats in storage and then left after closing. So we're both, I'm out there with a vest on. Deb Petfield said, boy, you look like a tough guy from Maine with no sleeves. I had a vest. Anyway, you know, you're stretching and reaching because you have faith that God is going to bring more people in. You didn't do it. This is great. This is a wonderful sanctuary. Why don't we just leave it? Well, we don't leave it because God is a living God, and he's always pouring in dreams and visions and plans. We can never rest. Anything that rests is a swamp. And I've preached at a few of those churches too. Nothing is happening. It's like, well, this is fine. The first church I pastored years ago, 30-some years ago, we were getting ready to expand. And the founding pastor's daughter, she's with Jesus now, so she won't mind if she hears what I'm saying. She was just grabbing at straws, did not want to knock out the back wall because that back wall had been there since Abraham Lincoln just about, you know? And she said, well, you know, I said, we're just trying to create more space. And she said, well, Pastor, I don't see why. Why don't people just learn to get here early if they want a seat? Well, that's going to exclude somebody. Do the math. How many knows we want to reach more people? So it's an exciting time we're in. We're free. We're like two teenagers after 40 years of marriage. And then in December, Mama got to ring the bell, cancer-free, at the oncologist's office. So would you stand and wave? And we're so grateful, so many comments and messages and prayers. It's been a three-year off and on battle. They think it's there, then it's not there, and now it's finally, they finally found something and dealt with it this year. Toughest year we've ever had, but I found out one thing, our God still brings you through. And it works, this gospel works. We would sit there laughing and joking even during chemo, telling, you know, they're putting on gloves and gowns and glasses and changing bags. And I said, so you're doing that and you're going to put that in my wife's veins? Are you kidding me? You know, and we'd smile and people knew me as pastor and my wife as a pastor. So we would end up praying for other patients in all the other little rooms having procedures. And God will use every opportunity. And we're grateful for that. Appreciate my wife being here. I had to clarify, it's not my daughter. As Billy Crystal used to say, you look marvelous. Anyway, I would date her all over again. In fact, we are. We're still. So our house sold. We don't know where we're going next. God knows. I did find, while I'm looking for houses, friends are saying, where are you going? I love to have fun and mess with people. So I've been putting up anything from $40,000 homes in Greenwich, $40 million homes in Greenwich. No, this isn't Northern Maine. Anyway, I put on a $40 million mansion, and a friend of mine's wife, Sherry, if you're watching, I'm going to make fun of you. She said, Rick, look, they're going to Connecticut. Rick said, Sherry, would you look at the ad that he posted? It's $40 million. I don't think Pastor Al's going there. So anyway, if we come up with the money this week, we're thinking about, I can at least say, yeah, we're thinking of buying that house in Greenwich. We want it to get a little warmer first, but no, we're looking around, God knows, and I know he's got something great. If your house can sell in January in Maine, I mean, we were getting ready to take it off the market, Pastor, and God sold it, and the people moved up from the Hamptons to buy our little log cabin-y type house. They love it. They're retired. So God's in control. It lets us know he knows exactly what he's doing. I always feel at home here with the team, and we're starting 2018. Tell your neighbor it's a new year. It's a brand new year, and God is not worried about calendars, folks. He's not worried about the calendar, but I just believe something is releasing in this year for all of us. I just believe it, and without knowing what I had written yesterday in my notes, Pastor Glenn, when he prayed for us in the office this morning, spoke of the same thing, that something is breaking. Something is bursting through. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. And things are happening. I'm 59. I know you thought I was 69, but I'm only 59. And I've been going to church and literally following Jesus. I accepted him at age 5. And all my life, baptized in the Holy Spirit at age 13, before I knew the theology of it. It just happened at a youth camp. And I know it was real. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. And I had no theology, but they asked if you wanted it, and I said yes. And after an hour at the altar, they asked me to say grace over the snack bar after, and I didn't know the spirit of the prophet was subject to the prophet and let all things be done decently in order, and I just went off again. God touched me, and I know that kept me, that infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so I know in my spirit all these years, and this year I know is different. God has something major in store for this place and for each of us as believers. It's not merely a calendar change. Tell your neighbor, it ain't no calendar change. It's not just flipping a page. Something is happening. I feel it right now as I preach this morning. And we're going to Mark chapter 2 to challenge us today as we begin 2018. And I'm in my old, what I call affectionately, my old beater Bible. I've even had to add blue duct tape to the gray duct tape. And Pastor Glenn, check his. He has scotch tape on his because he's more gentle. Mine's falling apart. I have sections coming out, and I have to be careful that I don't preach from certain parts because they'll fall out on me. But I'm getting a new Bible soon. I told him this morning, I'm not kidding, I'm retiring my Bible that I've had since I was 13. I've preached in 30-some states, thousands of services, and I'm going to get another one, hopefully this week. And I'm going to confess, Pastor, I haven't read through the whole Bible for a long time. And I told my wife yesterday, I said, I want to read through it again. I should be reading it every year. And I don't know if you want to set me down now for that, but just, you know, we go all over, and I haven't read through the whole thing for over a week. That's all I'm going to say. So anyway, we're in Mark chapter 2, a passage that's alive in my heart and spirit. From the life of Jesus and his ministry, it says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. I can't stop here, but as long as Jesus is in the house, people are going to fill that place. Amen. We didn't get to this point, harvest time. We didn't get to this point with this brand new facility with programs and activities by themselves. People come and stay because Jesus is in the house. And even if they're an atheist, when they interact with the Spirit of God, some type of an experience takes place, and eventually they get reached. They don't even have to speak English. You've created a platform for other languages here. Isn't that wonderful? That's amazing. You're stretching and opening up for still have the Hispanic service Saturday night. And all the things you're going, I don't know of any church pastor that goes worldwide more than you guys do. You're all over the world. You're all inclusive. You're reaching and you're stretching. And it's because Jesus is in the house. And when it was noised that he was in the house, something began to happen. Straightway there were many that were gathered together. They didn't need a packet in the mail. They didn't need a phone call. They just knew Jesus was in the house. Man, I got to get going. Listen, they came together in so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Listen, can I say this? We wanted to come Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And especially one of my favorite things of all is eating and the meatball festival that Sister Patty won 2 categories, I thought I saw. 3? Okay, well, I would like some of those between services. I'm on low carb, and I already dove into the donuts that Sister Faith brought, so low carb isn't working today, really low. Listen, there was standing room only Christmas Eve, is that right? In the new sanctuary. I'm not even going to say something like this because you'd throw things at me, but I think you might have to build larger. Anyway, just kidding. I'm just trying to work you up. We have to build within codes. Isn't that sad? We have to build within codes. Unless you're way up in northern Maine, then it's, no, you go right ahead. You turn that barn right into a church, and you'll be fine, dear. Permit? We ain't got no permits. You just get her going. Move them cows out and set up a few chairs, dear. When we bought an old warehouse, Pastor, back in 97 and moved in there, I've got pictures. The end of this was the first Ford dealership in the state of Maine. There were wires hanging, plumbing didn't work, anything, and they let us start meeting. And I have pictures of a mixture of chairs we'd been given. And we rolled up the garage door to the auto body shop and stuck a 2x4 under her and went right in, head church, no power, nothing. And there in Maine, they let us do it. You actually have codes here and everything. Probably have a couple inspections every now and then. So they're in the house, and it was buried. It was full of people. Verse 3, they came unto him with one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. Are you with me? They're carrying a guy on a stretcher because he couldn't walk. Are we on the same page? His friends, everybody say his friends. His friends were carrying him. They were carrying him. And when they couldn't come nigh to him, they couldn't get close to Jesus for the press. There were so many people. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken up the roof, they let him down. They lowered the bed down into the building. Can you imagine that right now? You're preaching and teaching and suddenly in comes this sick guy. They're lowering him in. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to this sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. Which is easier? I'm Jesus. I can say either thing I want to say, is what he was telling them. Don't question. I'm the Son of God. I can say, I forgive you, and your sins are forgiven, and I can say, you're healed. So now they're just smugger than ever. Can you read between the lines? Like, who is this guy? Now he's really going off. And so he turned to the guy. In verse 10, it says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately, everybody say immediately, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And that's where we're at today, personally and as a church. This is not just same old, another year, another new year, start the diet, and be like the guy that said, I did so good, I was done with a 21-day diet in 3.5 days. We've all seen that comment. Like, I've had diets last a few years ago. We're working at the Dream Center for a few months, and my wife and a friend and I and his wife, they were starting this. It was a popular about 5 years ago, maybe four, a cleanse. Anybody heard the cleanse? And it cleans, your whole system changes, and then you won't be heavy because you won't eat bad. It kills your cravings. And so the four of us agreed we're going to do this on a Monday morning. You always start on a Monday. And so the women went off, do their work. We went off. We started the cleanse with our wives. And by noontime, I think we were at Whataburger in Hollywood. The women kept going, but my friend and I, we went, and I think we went to that yogurt place too, whatever that was. And so the cleanse worked for us, man. We got that out of our system immediately and moved on to something better. Needless to say, I'm still battling, so... why is food in my sermons so often? I have no idea. Can anyone relate? Come on. But it's something new. It's not like we're starting another New Year's resolution. I don't do New Year's resolution because in my humanity, I have never been able to keep them. I try. I struggle. I just try to do the, go for it and just pray that by the grace of God, I change. Couple of things about this passage today. Jesus was in the house, so people wanted to get there, and they were so convinced that Jesus could help their friend, they didn't just tell him, you need to go down there and see Jesus, because he couldn't walk. They were, in a positive sense, enablers. They picked him up and carried him. And when they hit an obstacle, they didn't come to the door and say, oh, never mind, we can't get him in. The doorway was probably packed, and they didn't say, Larry, we're not going to get you in, bud. We tried, we walked 5 miles from your house, and that is Jesus, but we're not going to get in there. This thing is mobbed. We're going to get an appointment or something. No. At least one out of the four that carried him said, never mind, come with me. And as a team, everybody say as a team, they carried him up to the roof and then they tore the roof off. Are we really catching the significance of this? We all have friends and family and others that need a little bit of carrying to get them to Jesus. And I'm not suggesting we rip any roofs off here. We're trying to get them put together. But it's important for us to rip the roof off, and I want to say three things quickly. I was looking at the wrong clock, and I thought, man, I'm way off. That's the countdown. I left my phone in the truck because I have the famous Apple battery that's having problems, and it's 100% charged. We leave the hotel. Within 1 minute, it's dead. So, and you plug it in, it says you have a little red line. It's just great. I'm going back to a GE bag phone. I don't care. I'm tired of it. So here's the clock that you said the glare would block you. All right, we're getting there. Between the two of them, help me, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, I want to encourage us today to rip the roof off. What are we facing individually. Anybody have any needs or issues, challenges? Maybe you're not a paralytic. Maybe you're not needing to be carried here in a stretcher. But we all have our stuff. And it's important for us as we face this new year, particularly with the expectancy that we're feeling, it's important that we rip the roof off three things. Number one, we need to rip the roof off our past. Some of us are allowing our past to stand in the way and prevent us from what God has for us next. We need to rip the roof off our past. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if we're in Christ, we're new creatures. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 1, He's quickened us. We're now alive. He has quickened us. Something has happened. You are not what they said about you. You are not the comments they made. Part of our closing our church and merging it, Pastor, was our kids left and got married, and they were like 90% of our team. Imagine coming in here next Sunday and the entire team is gone. And they went with our blessing. They didn't walk out on us. It was exciting, and they're doing great things for God. But our daughters got married, and our son-in-laws were anything from youth leaders to musicians to what have you. And so they launched out, and when we lost some people and we had some building issues of a theater we'd rented and funds were so bad, we ended up to pay the bills. We opened up our own credit card and put over 10 grand on that. That's all paid now, thank God, in 4 years. But all the fuel, I wouldn't allow the bills to be late because people deal with enough churches that aren't paying stuff on time. So we took it on ourselves. We're doing everything. Finally, we felt like the brook's drying up. And during that time, I'm hearing things like, you're really not needed here as a pastor anymore. There's other bigger churches doing more, and you don't have anybody. You have no... We had no music team. We had nothing. And you're really not needed here anymore, Pastor. And that really was convincing to me, you know? That really impacted me. Has anyone ever had things like that spoken over you? Come on. We can't let that stuff limit us. If God sends me back to the same town, I can't listen to what some third party said. You're not needed here anymore. We're needed wherever God's called us to. And they'll make comments about you. And you'll have people say, things about you. Anybody had things said about you that weren't true? Man, we had a friend almost lose his house, and we surprised him and redid his whole house. He came back from Florida. He'd been gone for the winter and furnished his house without him knowing and got people to chip in. We repainted, we remodeled, we fixed it up. He was about to lose it, and he ended up coming home and got his water going, electric, everything, took care of him. But he had some neighbor up the street said to him one time, he saw him back, he stopped in to talk to him, and somehow he mentioned my name. And he said, that Al Robbins guy, he hardly ever waves to me when I wave. He's too busy, probably. And my friend said, wait a minute, don't talk that way about him. That's my pastor. I used to go to his church. And you don't have any idea. Come on inside. And he showed him the whole house we'd redone for free to surprise him and bless him. Now that guy's whole opinion changed. But in the meantime, the things that are said about us, we can't defend it all. We can't unscramble it all. And our past and our diagnoses of what we're going through and what we face, and even if we've fallen or stumbled or struggled, an incident cannot define us. An incident, what happened to you, cannot define you. Rip the roof off your past. History is full of famous failures. And it's important for us not to allow what happened or what didn't happen or what so-and-so said. Never let that happen to you. I'm here to say today that I'm embracing and forgiving, and I'm willing to help people that have fallen in their marriage, that have committed adultery. And a number of years ago, we're going through a struggle in a church, and people thought something had happened with my wife and I and said they've gone away because they're having marital problems. We had not had any marital problems. Neither of us have ever committed adultery or even come close. And somehow, those things were being said. You just have to ride those things out and don't let those things define you or limit you. Are you with me? When we go into 2018, we're in it now. Let's not let what stopped us last year prevent us. Let's go in victory in the name of Jesus. Let us stay out of what it was and let's move to what is. Secondly, we've got to rip the roof off our present. Our present can get in the way. We can get too comfortable. It would be easy to stay right in this sanctuary. Think of the expense. You've probably spent over 10 grand on that new property. In fact, somewhere I think we own 3 chairs in there. Let me just get this out of the way. Go ahead and use our chairs. We won't be here every week, all right? So listen, how many of you help with the chairs? God bless you. Thank you. There's some I can use too. That'll be good. I may take a nap. Anyway, listen. The chairs are coming. Small hiccup in a blizzard and 300 below zero. That can limit progress. But listen, we've got to rip the roof off our present. And we've been doing that here and in our lives too. If we allow what the doctor says to cripple us, we had moments when we thought, well, this could be it. You know, maybe we should give stuff away to our kids. You begin. It looked scary for a while. And then God began to show us through experience that your present cannot dictate your future. God is in charge of that. And if we allow, I'm not saying we don't use wisdom and follow our doctor's orders and you know, try to get a healthier lifestyle and go through the procedures, but we can find ourselves thinking that we're too sick, too old, we've had too many false starts. Circumstantial evidence about our lives can limit or restrict us. And if we're not careful, our present can stop us from our future. We've got to rip the roof off our present. Abraham in Romans 4, 17 through 21, one of my favorite passages, it says, he staggered not at the promises of God. He didn't stagger. He didn't weary. He didn't quit. I told you 3 or 4 years ago that for 3 years now, 3 years until this year, we made less money, less income than we used to give away every single year. That was the drastic change we went through. And instead of letting our present limiting us, we just kept going. I remember the bumper sticker that says, anything's possible if we'll show up for work. And we just kept working and going and clawing and going forward and praying about it and continue to tithe. Continue to give, continue to serve, continue to be a vessel of honor for God. And this year, this is the 4th year, and in 2017, we broke and now made more than we used to give away. We're now, and we're going further. And I have great expectations for this year that God is going to continue to send increase. I know I planted. I know I poured in seed, sacrificial seed. I know I did. And I know my wife did. We did it mutually. We sowed heavily into different ministries all over the world, literally. And I know it's coming back, and I'm expecting it back this year. I'm standing in faith. I am ripping the roof off my present. Right now, I have no house and no real destination. We're headed tomorrow to Vegas to see our daughter and preaching our way across and preaching back and still every day going on realtor.com and getting updates from our nephew who's our agent, letting us know of houses. And this will be the biggest deposit we've ever had for a house. And our credit, 4 years of unstable income, and my credit, I'll show you on my phone if I can get it to work on Credit Karma. Our credit is still over 800, and that is a God thing. God has kept us in integrity, and I am not going to let what we've been going through dictate 2018. And the fact that this sanctuary is not finished yet, this thing is going to be finished, and it's going to be a type and shadow and a symbol of what's about to take place happened on New Year's Eve. You already had services, Christmas Eve, or both New Year's and Christmas. You already had services. Everyone's tired. It's 350 below zero. Well, maybe we'll just have a handful of staff and we'll pray. No, you had standing room only. I saw the live pictures coming in, and I said, great, honey. We couldn't go because we had a closing on the 3rd, and we had 9 million other things happening getting the house ready. In fact, the house we sold had never frozen up, and we froze pipes twice trying to get to a closing. Second day, I'm just shaking. We had a closing in 24 hours, and I went in to check it because we weren't living there. And the pipes are frozen again. Oh, Lord Jesus. And we got it, man. We just did it. Went and rented heaters, attacked it, hired a plumber again. Chance to get them some new plumbing in different areas. And my wife said, it's a good thing it happened to us because we were able to make some changes for them so they can go in and it'll be fine. We're ripping the roof off our present. I'm not nervous about the future, neither is my bride. We're like two 18-year-old newlyweds. We're headed out, got enough gas money, and at some point we're going to buy a house somewhere. It wouldn't shock me. Now, I'm going to sound crazy. It wouldn't shock me if a $40 million home opened up. And I'm not aiming for that because I don't want to pay the taxes. But nothing surprises me with God. Like faith school being given the Higgins, the prep school. They're given the school. The board comes in, votes it on them. Nothing shocks me, Pastor. My faith has never been higher. And I'm believing that. And I'm believing God sent me here because the same is true for you folks. God hasn't even, it says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I got some pretty wild thoughts. Come on. I wouldn't be surprised what God's going to do this year. We're going to refuse to base our future on what is. We're going to ask, seek, and knock. We're going to reach and stretch and believe. I've already told my family, when I die, I don't want to be in a suit. I want to be in jeans. I want to be in a white t-shirt. I want my Bible, and I want a hammer because I believe in giving it everything you got, working long, hard hours, giving it to God, believing God, and the hammer is what's next, you know? You need me to tear something out, remodel? I'm your guy. Bring me up and turn me loose. If you could, get me a compressor. That would help for the nail gun. But listen, I'm serious. I'm crazy. I don't even want a funeral. I was talking to my daughter the other day. I don't want the people that know me and love me now, we interact. Don't bring all these people in. Oh, he looks good. No, he doesn't. He's dead. You know what I'm saying? Oh, he looks so good. Whoa, really? Wow, you should have seen him when he was alive. He was even better. By the way, we're never getting out of here alive anyway. So don't let even that scare us. God is always good if he called us home right now. And don't test us, Lord, but listen, what we see here in harvest time, if I can interject this as a guest, but I've been here enough to feel like family, and I do feel very loved and appreciated and relaxed here. And what started here started on either a scratch pad or a notebook, or you guys started. We weren't coming then. You still had it for the youth, but you started in an inflatable building. How many of you were here then? An inflatable building. We drove in and saw it. First time we visited. And I heard all the stories about dealing with the wind and the thing freaking out and everything. Man, that is crazy. And I guess you didn't pack it up and quit. Yeah, well, you packed that up. You built something that can handle it. I'm told by the pastor that if a bomb hits, you want to be in the sanctuary basement. If a missile comes this way, I said, you ought to just put a target on the roof and know anybody coming in is safe. Listen, finally, we got to rip the roof off our future. Rip the roof off your future. Uncertainty stops many of us. Uncertainty. How can we do this? What will they say? What will the neighbors say? How many of you fight with that? What will people think? Listen, what could go wrong? Listen, there are 9 million things that could go wrong. There are probably 10 million. But we never got anywhere, and we won't get anywhere this year in 2018 if we don't rip the roof off our future. Matthew 6 says he's still got the whole world in his hand. He's still got the whole world in his hand. Listen, here's how to rip it off. Number one, decide what's in your way. Could be your past, your present, your future. You could be too scared to step out. Some of you have thought about joining a ministry team here, and you're saying, boy, I don't know if I can keep a commitment. Well, it's about time you did. It's about time to know we can keep a commitment. It's about time to say yes to God when he's called us to do something, and we know in our heart and spirit what it is, and we're wrestling with it. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Decide what's in your way. We are our biggest enemy, and we are often in our way because we are not willing to rip the roof off the future. We've got to drop defeated talk. Stop beating yourself up. We're not too old. Come on, we can lose weight. We can improve our health. We can get better. Things can change. We can make more money. We can do better. We can get a better apartment or a better house. We've got to speak life over ourselves. We're children of God. We're the children of the King. We've got to believe for healing. And if we struggle in an area, gossip, slander, greed, jealousy, or maybe we give our tithe check, but we're the usher's got to rip it out of our hands, you know? Oh, I got to rewrite it, or you just ripped it in half. Come on. Why? God loves a cheerful, liberal giver. Just give, man. Just give. Speak life. If I'm not a giver, I'm going to be a giver. I am looking for the day to pastor again. Our church of about 200 put over $750,000 back into anything from the Dream Center, Teen Challenge, missionaries, built a church, gave Dave Ferris when he was in Chad, Africa, to build a church. We just sowed. And now the old building that I own is turning into a microbrewery and a fitness center. I have no use for either one. Anyway, listen. So it's tough to drive by it, but it's like God puts his hand on my shoulder and says, it's okay, you were there for a season. Don't worry about it. The effects of what you've done are, it's like a giant ripple in a lake. It's continuing on. We've got to get up, get up, get up, get up. If you feel you can't do it, then it's time to do it. If it scares you, then it's God. If you think you can handle it, then it isn't God. If you don't think you can handle it, you know God has to do it. Tommy Barnett says, if your dream doesn't scare you, it's not big enough. It's not God's dream. And the key element is to surround yourself with a team that will carry you if you need it. A team that will lift you. This guy would love to be healed, I'm sure. Read between the lines. Use your imagination. It's only realistic to know that as he lay there day in and day out, he wanted to change. He wanted to be healed, but he could not get to Jesus. And his four friends knew about Jesus, knew what Jesus could do, and knew he couldn't get there, so they carried him there. Surround yourself. Surround yourself. Saturate yourself with church people and a church that can get you through the roof if need be. Come on, church. Surround yourself with people of faith, people that are passionate about Jesus, a bunch of roof rippers and bed carriers. Create space out here. Who knows who's going to walk through these doors over the next 30 days? Who knows who's coming in today? Just seeing that new building speaks life to the community. A lost and dying world is saying, something must be working over there. I think I'll try them out. Come on. And what if it's that cousin or nephew or your own son or your daughter? What if it's your mom or dad that saw that beautiful cross in the end And because you guys were willing to roll up your sleeves and empty your pockets and create room and releasing this place to God and His plans, rip the roof off your future. Get around people who love you, who get you, who understand you, who appreciate you, those who will rip the roof off. Because Ecclesiastes 4 says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A solid church, a serious church, a Bible church that has Jesus in the house is going to cause your future to happen in the name of Jesus. Listen, only friends can take you higher, not just any friends, but loyal friends, friends who understand you, who get you, who pray for you, who believe in you, who have a clearer view of your value than you do. Do you have friends that believe in you more than you do? Yes, I have those friends, and so do you. Friends who stand in the gap, who talk to Jesus, who simply refuse to allow any obstacle to hinder your destiny. Active friends who refuse to sit idly by on the sidelines. Friends who go the distance. Friends who will react, not reflect. Come on, they believe in you when you can't even believe in yourself. Will you rip the roof off? Let's bow our heads while Pastor comes. I'm just going to pray a quick prayer. Would you slip your hand up if this message was for you? Father, right now, in Jesus' name, God, as Pastor comes, we just feel this so strongly in our spirit. Your plans are so much bigger than we thought. You're bringing us into a new season, God. You've brought us through a valley, a desert place, but you've still been God. You've still been good. In fact, you've been great. You are more than enough, God. You're all we need, but you don't stop there, God. You have other things, bigger things, greater things, higher things. And God, you have a great plan for this church and those today that are here and those that raise their hands, God. We just commit them to you, God. You lead us and direct us, God. No matter how scary it may seem or difficult, the challenge and the charge, we release ourselves to you. God, rip the roof off and let us rip it off of our past, our present, and our future. We're anticipating the greatest year of our lives in 2018, and the greatest year of Harvest Time Church is already starting in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's just thank the Lord for this word from Pastor Al. Would you stand together with us this morning? God bless you, everyone. Listen, let's be the team that carries other people to Jesus. Amen. Let's be the team, I love that, that believes in the value of people, that values them so much that we won't let anything stop us from carrying them to Jesus. Just take the hand of the person next to you. God bless you, everyone. If anybody would like to receive personal prayer, we're going to dismiss our service. And as soon as we do, our pastors will be right here at the front and some of our friends to pray with you about any need that you have. Listen, take this word of faith for 2018. I love that word. Don't let anything that happened to you, don't let anything that held you back in 2017 hold you back in 2018. We're going ahead, amen? From faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Let me bless you. And then if you'd like personal prayer, you can come to the altar. Father, thank you so much for your people. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for our friends, Pastor Al and Laura. And Father, I pray that you would give us faith to rip the roof off in 2018. Lord, I pray that we would be that team, Lord, that values people so much that we refuse to let them lie, Lord, in their suffering, Lord, in their brokenness. But Lord, I pray we would be those people of faith that say, come on, we're going all the way to Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would remove limitations. Lord, I pray that you'd lift barriers. I pray that you'd remove obstructions. Lord, I pray for everyone who needs a job. Lord, I pray even this week, Lord, would be a week that something would break. Lord, that there would be interview opportunity, offer, Lord. I pray this would be a week of answered prayer for your people. Lord, I pray that this first full business week of this new year would even set the tone in a positive way. Lord, for the coming year. Lord, I pray for every small business owner in our congregation, for everyone in practice, Lord. Father, I pray that even this week, Lord, would just set the tone in a positive way. Lord, for a fruitful new year. Lord, thank you for protecting your people. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for preserving us and keeping us until we come together again. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you, everyone. Happy New Year to you. If anybody'd like prayer, we'll be happy to pray with you. God bless you. Stay warm.